Again, we will also be, well, coming up very shortly, we're going to be talking to Rick Sterling. And I think, well, we may as well, I think if my clock is working, I think it's probably time we have a bit of music about the Bernie Sanders campaign, because we're going to talk about Rick Sterling, who's very active on the opposing the war on Syria, and he has a lot to say. And he went to a Bernie Sanders event, and we'll be talking about that. But we have a little piece of music that might be appropriate to get us to that subject.
Bernie Sanders, bring me a dream. Make it the strongest that I've ever seen. The middle class will stop bending over, and that's when all their lonesome nights are over. Sanders, I'm so alone. Don't have a country to call my own. Please turn on your magic beam. Bernie Sanders, bring me a dream. Bernie Sanders, bring me a dream. Make it the strongest that I've ever seen. Give it the word that I'm not a rover, and tell it that its lonesome nights are over. Sanders, I'm so alone. Don't have a country to call my own. Please turn on your magic beam. Whoa, Bernie Sanders, bring me a dream.
Bong, 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 bong.
Bernie Sanders,
yes,
bring us a dream. Give it an education with the come hither gleam. Give it a boost for lots of clean energy, please, and lots of wavy hair like you, dear Bernie. Bernie Sanders, a country to hold,
country to hold.
We'll be so peachy before we're too old. So please turn on your magic beam. Bernie Sanders, bring us, please, 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 Bernie Sanders, bring us a dream.
And I think we're back. This is Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, and joining us is Rick Sterling from California. Are you there, Rick?
Yes, I am, Phil.
Hey, thanks very much. I don't know if you heard the song, but...
I did. Very cute. First time I've heard that one.
We'll get you the title here after a while. But they are talented women, and they say, I don't have a country to call my own. And I know this must hit a nerve with you, because you've been trying to urge the American government to quit meddling in the internal affairs of Syria. And you've been arguing with those who have been trying to pour fuel on the fire. The title of your article is Bernie Comes to Vallejo. So you attended one of Bernie Sanders' events. And, of course, we want to get into the thing of someone like yourself, active against the war.
Right.
And try to evaluate this presidential election, but also this, particularly the place of Bernie Sanders. So I'll give it to you. You studied him. What do you make of the importance of Bernie Sanders' campaign?
Well, I think he's been hugely important, actually. Last summer, and even actually into the fall, I had friends who would show up my place with their Bernie T-shirts, feeling the burn and so forth, and I was kind of amused and pretty skeptical. But then I started listening to his speeches and his debates, and it was really pretty clear he's offering a basic class analysis of the U.S. He's calling out Wall Street. He's calling for a qualitative change in U.S. foreign policy away from regime change. And he's educating millions of people, and equally importantly, he's demonstrating to the world that there's a hunger for something different. Mm-hmm. So I think he's played a hugely positive role.
Yeah. You know, I like a lot of people, of course, the beauty of the internet. Now we can, I can watch him give a speech in Bakersfield, and you know, the
exactly.
day he does it. And I really urge people to do just that. Like you just said, give the guy a chance, give anybody a chance. Have listen to what they're saying. Now,
yeah.
one of the things that resonated with me was the event that the Clinton people and others trying to laugh at now. But that accidental moment when the bird landed on his podium. And he said, well, you know, that's a symbol of peace. And the crowd went crazy.
That's right.
Maybe it startled him.
Brilliant.
But his followers don't want war. Am I right?
Exactly. And that's the other thing that has really underscored for me how important it is for progressives to get behind Bernie and push him as far as he can go. Because the alternatives are so disastrous. If you look at Trump or if you look at Clinton, both of them are real dangers to the world.
Yeah, and to clarify on that, the last time I saw Hillary Clinton talking about the issue of Syria, she had not abandoned the idea
yeah.
of a no-fly zone.
Right.
What I
yeah,
mean,
Hillary.
That
is,
sounds like. How do you yeah. do that without committing? Committing yourself to a war with a major power.
Right, and she knows exactly what it means because she was the one, she was the main organizer of the Libyan, the overthrow of the government in Libya. She was the one who coordinated initially with the so-called Arab League, which was basically predominantly Qatar and Saudi Arabia and the UAE, and then coordinated and got support and kind of corralled France, which was champing at the bit, and then got it through, got one resolution through the United Nations Security Council, and then used that to do something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Which is so relevant to Syria.
Exactly, she knows exactly what she means, and she wants to. She really wants to step it up in Syria.
Mm-hmm. And the issue between her. And Trump is, you know, well, which one is, Trump is allegedly a barbarian, but I recall her celebrating the death of the Libyan leader, Muammar Gaddafi, when
sure.
we had all seen what had happened to him. He had been stabbed to death. Well, he'd been stabbed badly.
Right.
And then, I assume, shot. And she had a little poem or something. She said, oh, we came, we saw, and he dead.
He died. Right.
He died.
You know, she, one thing that not everybody knows is she was a major influence in getting Madeleine Albright appointed by her husband, Bill Clinton, as Secretary of State. And they really are birds of a feather. Madeleine Albright, very neocon, very U.S. supremacist, and of course she's the one who said, yes, the price was worth it. When somebody asked her about the estimated 500,000 Iraqi children who had died as a result of the sanctions during the 1990s. So Clinton is even, she's even got blood on her hands in that way before she became Secretary of State in her role as First Lady.
Yeah, she's not bringing up the rear or just a lieutenant. She's a one of the thinkers of this game.
She is. She's very active. If one reads her book, Hard Choices, about her term as Secretary of State, she is very high energy, you know, something that Trump likes. She's high energy, and she's a doer, and I believe she is the one in the U.S. administration that gave the green light to the coup in Honduras in June of 2009.
Yeah.
That was the Obama administration had just come in January of 2009, end of January, and just 5 months later, you had a coup happen, the first direct coup in many years in Latin America, and it's clear, and Clinton actually was in Honduras just a few weeks beforehand. From her book, it's clear she did not like Zelaya. She compared him to Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro. and it's very likely that she's the one who gave the nod to the military and the other forces in Honduras, which carried out the coup on June 28, 2009.
Yeah. And she's one of those who seems to know how to tread water while they do ugly things. to look the other way, to not respond to issue mealy-mouthed statements.
Hillary Clinton is one of the things that comes through in her book, which is quite revealing in a number of ways, but she emphasizes what she calls smart power. Smart power boils down to things like that, getting that resolution through the UN Security Council. You get a resolution that says one thing, then you use that and use it for something else. Mm-hmm. You use it to take step one, and then you go on and take steps two, three, and four without any approval.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that is in her book is her promotion of what she calls civil society around the world. What she means by civil society is basically U.S.-trained, funded, equipped agents, and especially youth.
Yeah.
She targets
experts
youth
in democracy.
And she gets youth in countries that the U.S. does not like, for example, Syria, for example, Venezuela, for example, Brazil, and she gets them being trained and kind of inculcated with U.S. Attitudes, and then they are the ones, they're the agents on the ground. They are the what she calls activists or mm-hmm. journalists who promote propaganda, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another element of what Hillary Clinton calls smart power.
Yeah, and bringing in again Sanders, and what is at stake? And indeed, tomorrow we're going to find out. I guess tomorrow is a blockbuster day. The state of California, which has the most citizens, American citizens of all, is going to vote. And it looks like what was going to be a walk for her early in the campaign is now going to be a battle. And you heard Sanders saying or indicating he doesn't like the regime change policy. He doesn't believe in that, which is a doctrine, right?
Yeah, well, it's a doctrine, but it's also just it's a policy. It's a practice that they've been doing for many years now. But it was George Bush's policy, overthrowing the government in Iraq, and then Barack Obama and what they did in Libya. So Sanders makes specific reference to Libya. Sanders doesn't talk a whole lot about foreign policy. His stated foreign policy is nowhere near as anti-imperialist or as much of a radical break as I would like to see or as you would like to see. But it's a qualitative difference for the better compared to anything else that's possible.
Isn't that that's the striking aspect of it, right? I mean, for example, one of his political victories is that he's able to name three or four people to the platform committee. And as soon as he named them, they really began to pound him because one of them is the Muslim American congressman, I believe, and a couple of people.
That's right, and Cornel West and James Zogby. Cornel West is great, and he's been out there campaigning hard for Bernie Sanders for many months now. And of course, Cornel West campaigned with Ralph Nader in 2000. But he's got a very sharp analysis. Zogby's got a pro-Palestinian inclination.
And that's what sets all the alarm bells ringing in the Democratic Party, right?
Right. But that's what, what I'm hoping is that, I mean, ideally what I would like to see happen is Sanders win tomorrow in California, and there's a couple of other states, but California's the big one. And that will pretty much confirm that he is actually the preferred candidate among Democrats in the key Democratic states.
Mm-hmm.
He's already won of the so-called blue states that are Democratic. Sanders has won 9, Clinton's won 8. And where Clinton piled up a lot of votes and piled up a lot of delegates was in what they call red states, which are states like Alabama, South Carolina. They're not voting Democrat in November.
Mm-hmm.
So, the wins there are really of not that much significance, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
What counts is the swing states, and most of the swing state votes so far, most of them, the majority have gone to Clinton, but most of them were closed primaries. And, of course, is to independence.
Mm-hmm.
So in if you, so Clinton Scott, the establishment mm-hmm. vote, but it's Sanders who will draw in new voters, draw in young voters, and there's no comparison.
And this magic word independent, people who have pretty much had it with the Bushes and Clintons.
Exactly.
And
right. Now, there was a rally on Memorial Day in Oakland, just to give you a sense. It's like I told you about the event, or I wrote a little bit about, I gave a snapshot of that
yes.
event in Vallejo.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were 10,000 people there. Most of them came out like with one day's notice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a weekday. And the event last Monday on Memorial Day, they had about 30,000 people in downtown Oakland.
How does that happen?
That happened, and also that was with competition of the Golden State Warriors NBA championship. That was Game 7.
Okay.
So they had the biggest possible sporting competition going on at the same time as the Bernie Sanders event, and he still drew 30,000 people
mm-hmm.
in downtown Oakland. So Clinton probably has trouble mustering 300.
Mm-hmm.
There's no comparison in terms of their appeal.
Yeah, it is money against Bernie.
That's it. Yeah, it's people versus money and the establishment. That is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And that's what's brilliant about the Sanders campaign, because it's highlighted that, which is what the left really needs.
Absolutely. And it is a question of maturing of the left itself. But when you see somebody come out, he says he's a socialist, he says he's against regime change, and he says that there should be a new approach to the Middle East.
Yeah,
that's time to work a little bit.
Exactly.
And get up out of your
chairs.
We can
say, well, he doesn't support the right of return. Well, you know, come on, let's take things one step at a time.
Yeah, where do we get to the table? Exactly. People gave Lincoln a hard time. It wasn't for all the right things, so they stayed away.
But Bernie, I think, has played a hugely positive role, and it's not over. He's got a lot of energy. Just to go back to that rally in Oakland, one little example out of thousands of examples of discrimination against him by the mainstream media. Whenever there's a big, huge basketball game on television, they will show Jack Nicholson sitting by the sideline or you know, some other celebrity. Bernie Sanders went to the last half of that game with Danny Glover after his Oakland event.
Yeah.
The Oakland Coliseum, where the Warriors play, is just 20 minutes away from downtown Oakland. The TV did a blackout on him. They didn't show him at all, him or Danny Glover.
Yeah.
So that's just like one little example. If it had been Hillary Clinton coming into the stadium, well, I'm sure or Donald Trump,
yes.
the media would have been all over him all the time.
Yes. Yes. They have the appropriate stamp on their wrist.
Right.
They take it. This is Rick Sterling. The article is Bernie Comes to Vallejo. Very well written, very interesting. On May 20, 2016, Counterpunch. And Rick, I want to ask you, going back to Syria and the question of, is the United States sincere in seeking peace, or are all these stories true that they're starting to slip troops and other people into Syria, maintaining the dream of a regime change?
I think, sadly, the U.S. sincerely clings to its goals of regime change. They are not giving up on it, and even the report about British troops in the south of Syria coming in from Jordan and assisting the so-called, here's a new one, the New Syrian Army, NSA.
A new one.
Every few months they seem to come up with some new Syrian group that they give a new title to.
Mm-hmm. Probably the guy leading it probably went to West Point.
Probably. And then in the north, there are credible reports of Turkish soldiers intermixing with different terrorist groups on the north of Aleppo, the major city in the north of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. they are basically trying to prevent a Syrian government and allies victory.
Mm-hmm.
And there's credible reports of Russian troops arriving in Tartus. Now, these would be advisors and ground guy, you know, basically ground reconnaissance and spotters for the Russian Air Force attacks.
Pretty scary.
But it's a very dangerous situation, and going back and the connecting it with Hillary Clinton is what makes it really scary,
mm-hmm.
because we all know that Turkey, Erdogan is obsessed, and that guy's a bit crazy. Jubair and Saudi Arabia is obsessed with countering Iran, and they see, and that's what the attack on Syria is related to. It's related to Iran, and it's related to Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. And in the background, quietly observing and intruding at various points has been Israel.
Yes.
Israel is a big player here, and Israeli interests, namely defeating Hezbollah or weakening Hezbollah, weakening, attacking, overthrowing Damascus, is a key objective for Israel. And that's where Clinton's, I mean, bizarre attachment to the far right of Israel is extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no secret that Netanyahu wants the U.S. to attack Iran. I mean, mm-hmm. this literally could lead to World War III.
Mm-hmm.
If the Syrian army gets to the point, they've advanced a lot from where they were a year ago, but if they were to get to the point where they were about to really crush all of the terrorists in Aleppo as well as in the south, and here again, Israel is medically treating Nusra al-Qaeda mm-hmm. in their own clinics and then sending them back to fight.
And they say so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. There was even video of Netanyahu bedside with one of the terrorists. And then they interviewed him, and they asked him, well, you know, is it true that your group, he claimed to be Free Syrian Army, but then they said, isn't it true that you work with Jabhat al-Nusra, al-Qaeda? And he said, yes. And he said, they're good. They're our yeah. brothers. And Netanyahu was bedside.
Yeah.
There's video of this.
Well, that's how...
So it's a extremely dangerous, and the prospect, and here again, here's the prospect of Clinton coming in, and Clinton in her book says explicitly she would rather, when she's in a quandary about whether to take a risky move or not take it, she would venture in terms of taking the risky move rather than not take a move that might have been good in hindsight. So she's aggressive, she's risky, and she's a true believer. She believes that the U.S. has a right, God-given or whatever, to, you know, determine the course of international affairs.
Wow. Well, that's Rick Sterling, Bernie Kamsu Vallejo, Counterpunch, and it's a Serious Solidarity Movement, right?
Yes. Yeah, I work with Serious Solidarity Movement, and also I work with Task Force on the Americas.
All right. Well, we're glad to talk to you. We look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Okay. Rick Sterling.